boosting farmers to blunt the cost of tariffs. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The White House says it'll dish out $12 billion in emergency aid for American farmers, now in the crosshairs of a mounting trade tensions between the U.S. and trading partners like China and the European Union. The money is to ease the impact of retaliatory tariffs on agricultural exports. But some farmers aren't so sure about this plan. Marketplace's Renata Sego is here to discuss. Renata, what are farmers concerned about with this money?
Well, the idea here is to give farmers money they'd be losing in sales and retaliatory tariffs, but many farmers say they prefer the White House simply step off imposing tariffs on U.S. trade partners in general and think big picture, long term, about keeping the market open.
But there are some farmers who support this?
Yes, some soybean farmers. They've seen their product prices drop to a decade low with these new tariffs. They could use the money. Some politicians say if there's anything or any time to consider a bailout, it's now. But other lawmakers, many Republican, are skeptical. For them, this feels like a short-term fix. And it's really unclear what the long-term impact will be of tariffs, and even who will be considered a U.S. ally.
Right. There's also some Republicans' concern about how this might play in November elections.
Right. The thing is, this is the president's proposal. It doesn't need Congress's approval. So the emergency money could be a relief to farmers, or it could set them off to vote against Republicans come November.
Marketplace's Renata Sego, thanks. We're in the midst of earnings season for the second quarter. This week, over a third of the S&P 500 will report. Today is the single busiest day. Susan Schmidt is here to walk us through it all. She's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. So, Susan, lots of earnings, lots for investors to chew over, right?
It definitely does. And that's a good thing for investors. It's a healthy market when investors have a lot of factual data to focus on. And so right now, I would say the market is very micro-focused. It's got a lot of earnings releases from numerous companies reporting. And so the investors are going to be busy absorbing all that data, trying to put pieces of the puzzle together for each of the individual companies, dealing with facts and actual operating results rather than speculation and innuendo.
And already today, we've gotten earnings from General Motors, Fiat Chrysler, Boeing. All of them mentioned increased commodity costs as a headwind. What's going on there?
Increasing manufacturing costs is something that the market's been talking about for a while. They're only going to get worse the more the labor market tightens and the more that input costs go up. So there's some concern here, and there's some foreshadowing of what the impact of tariffs could be. A lot of these guys have already been impacted by increased tariffs and restrictions around the importing of steel and aluminum. We're going to see those costs start to filter through into those income statements and impact the operating margins as we go through the year.
All right. Susan Schmidt is with Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
There's something of a mystery afoot in the U.S. economy. Mystery might be too strong a word. Fed Chair Jerome Powell, speaking on this show and elsewhere, has actually called it a puzzle. Basically, how unemployment can be so low, the economy seemingly so solid, and yet wage increases are barely exceeding inflation. There are a number of theories out there as to why this might be. Here to talk about one of them is Torsten Schlock. He's chief international economist at Deutsche Bank Securities. Hi, Torsten.
Hey.
So do you agree with Chair Powell? Is this a puzzle?
It is a puzzle in the sense that looking back in history and previous expansions, you normally do begin to see more upward pressure on wages. But we have just not seen this during this almost 10 years since the recession ended. So it is a puzzle why wages have not gone up more.
It's not just one single cause for this slow wage growth, but you have been thinking about the power that companies have in today's economy and how that might impact wage growth?
Yeah. If you look at the concentration in many industries in the U.S. economy, that we simply have more monopolies and we have bigger companies and bigger corporates that they therefore have more bargaining power over the inputs that they are using in their production. They buy energy, they buy raw materials, and they also buy labor. It's clear that we have seen more market concentration along many industries in the U.S. economy. And this is probably also an important reason why companies simply have gotten more powerful and therefore have been able to not give wage increases to the same degree that they did earlier.
Can you walk me through an example? If I'm a worker, how might I experience this monopoly power? How might it keep my wages down?
So a good example is that in some sectors where there are relatively small number of companies, say, for example, the technology sector, it has gotten so prestigious to work at some companies. Well, if workers, not only in the technology sector, but across the board in many industries, suddenly are more willing to work at companies because it gives you experience, it gives you skills and insights that you might be able to use later, that would result in companies, quote-unquote, getting away with not giving as big wage increases.
So can workers push back against these monopoly powers? What do? Go out and shop a bunch of offers?
Exactly. Wages for people who are switching jobs are now significantly higher than wages for people who are staying in their jobs. If more people start quitting their jobs, which is what the data has been showing in the last few months, it all points in the direction that in the second half of this year, we do believe that wage growth will begin to move higher and therefore begin to dominate the structural story that we have been seeing for the last 6-7 years.
Okay. Torsten Slok, Chief International Economist at Deutsche Bank Securities. Thanks, Torsten.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, KitKat just can't catch a break. Its parent company, Nestle, has spent more than a decade trying to trademark KitKat's shape, those 4 chocolate-covered wafers. Europe's top court said today the company hasn't proved the candy was sufficiently well-known in all EU countries. So competitors like Cadbury can have a 4-fingered bar of its own. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.